One of the things that I would love for everyone to be aware of is that, that in case you haven't noticed, summers are a time to fix and clean and paint because we are not a monument. Because we love having people here and making it a mess and using all the facilities and getting rid of all of our mulch so then we can have new mulch put in there. We have been under renovation, if you will, this last month and a half, 2 months. And so we appreciate everyone's patience and we appreciate all those who helped out. Thank you, Siminski and team. Siminski and his team of FCA athletes from Centennial. Really stepping in for us. Thank you again for all those who helped with the flooring, with the painting. I just can't say how much we appreciate it. From our new paved area there to just really help things out with the school for the safety of the children. Just a lot of great things are going on. And so it's great to be home, though. I've missed you and appreciate your patience with me, especially this morning. Let us jump into God's word here. This is from 1 Peter, or 1 Peter, some like to say, chapter 3 and then verse 4, chapter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's a fun one. That's a fun one. Yes, I know. Oh, let's try that again. Maybe we'll try it again. There we go. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as the one who speaks in the... The very, very words of God. Huh. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this special day. This day that we stop, we listen. This day that we actually are going to call up the teachers and pray for them and love on them and ask you to just anoint them and fill them to be your ministers. We pray, Lord, that this would be a time we realize what you have called us to be and do, and that we would step up, but above all, that we would love each other deeply. We give you thanks, we give you praise, in your name, amen. So I've been gone these last few weeks. I've really been suffering. I've stayed in the cabin up in North Carolina. It was one of those really rustic cabins. As you can see, it's bigger than my house. When my friend invited us up there a few years back, I was like, I appreciate that. But my wife, I knew when we started dating, she wasn't into camping. I mean, she's like in the glamping kind of thing, you know, glamour, you know, Marriott, okay. And so, and I said, you know, but thanks, I appreciate that. And he's like, have I never shown you pictures? And I'm like, nope. And he goes, let me show you some pictures. And I was like, what? I could get used to this. You know, that's the creek, it's right there, and we have lots of fun there with the girls, and just enjoy it. This is a place called Deep Creek, and it's just right off the water. It's just this great place to go tubing, unless they've had like a ton of rain, which they did, and then it was more like whitewater rafting, but we won't go there now. But one thing that really kind of got my attention while we were up there, I was reading through 1 Peter. And reading through the Psalms. And one of the things that just kept saying over and over and over again is how we live between two worlds. That we're this thing called exiles. And I'm like, we live between two worlds. And I get it. I get it. I've been to school for it, so I understand what he's saying. But the reality is sometimes it just doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it just feels like the only world we know. Now, when we're on vacation and then we're seeing the creek go by, it's beautiful and it's wonderful. When we have times of celebration, whether it be for a birthday or seeing friends from long ago, seeing family that we haven't seen, and celebrating those moments that make life so special. It doesn't always feel like a different world. But then Monday comes. Then Tuesday comes. Then we get into a routine, and before you know it, we might just go on and think that, oh, this is all there is. We live between two worlds. Over and over again throughout 1 Peter, we see again and again and again, Peter repeat the phrase, you are exiles. You are not of this world. But from what are we exiles from? And what are we exiles to? We're from creation. That God started this whole thing and he said it was good. In fact, when he said he made humanity, he said it was very good. He is very invested in us. But we are exiles from that creation. But again, to where do we go? This constant letter, 1 Peter, which we'll be going through over this next month, over and over again, he talks about this new way of being, this new way of living, this new creation that you and I have been called to. I think about again how it just doesn't always feel like we're going somewhere. And yet, I think that's because God gives us so many glimpses amidst the struggle, glimpses of his beauty, glimpses of hope, glimpses that he is not finished, that we are on mission together, that we're not alone. And he gives us some insight into this. In his scripture, he really goes into above all things, he says, above all, he says, love each other deeply. Above all, love each other deeply. When you're in the struggle, love deeply. When you're in the struggle, keep loving. Keep loving. When you don't feel like you have anything left to give, keep loving. Above all else, in the midst of the exile, in the midst of not being where you want to be, not having life being what it needs to be, keep loving. Now, this love is not from us, it is from God, that is for sure. And he says that we can keep loving by a few things. Show hospitality. Show hospitality. We hope and pray that every person that comes through these doors wants to come back next week. Not because that's the end all be all, but we hope everyone feels loved when they come through those doors, that they're greeted with a smile, that they're encouraged, that hopefully people know your name. And let them know that this is a place they can call home, a place they can be at home. Home is a place that doesn't have to be dysfunctional. It doesn't. It doesn't. And yet every one of our families has the dysfunctional attached to it, doesn't it? That's just called breathing. Because we're human. Because we make mistakes. Because we get so focused on ourselves. It's so hard to keep our eyes off of us. Because it's all about us, right? I mean, you go down any road, and if you see a billboard, there's going to be something about that billboard that talks about how it's really all about you. See it on TV, hear it in the music. It's all about what you want, when you want it. It's like Burger King, you're away right away. But the reality is we know when life is good, when life is beautiful, it's really not all about us. It's about us showing hospitality. It's about us continually loving deeply. And then he goes on to say, use your gifts to serve one another. What has God gifted you? How has he made you? Now, before you say all the things you're not good at, what do you love to do? And what are you good at? You might love to do it, but not be that good at it. What do we call that again? Hobbies. Those are fun. Golf is a hobby of mine. I enjoy it. I'm not good at it. But what are you gifted at? Your gifts will actually strengthen you. You'll feel more alive. You'll feel like I could do this all day. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that have been here the last few weeks serving up here. Amanda Orr came a couple weeks ago and talked about how she realized she found her home. And then you had Eileen Harrison, and he talked about salt and light, and he talked about being the salt and the light and what that looked like. These are people trying to use their gifts. I didn't ask Amanda to speak. I was talking to her about, I've asked this pastor, I've asked, I'm waiting to hear back, and she's like, well, you know, I'd do it. And I'm like, okay, yeah. There we go. Moving on. And she's like, no, I'm serious. I'm like, tell me why you say that. Because most people don't go, hey, put me in, coach. You know, I'm ready. Put me in. I'm ready. They're not. I've told Mike Leatherwood, who's the chair of our worship team, I said, if you get a call from me Saturday night after midnight, you're not going to want to take the call. But you need to take the call. It could be me sick and whatever. And he's like, yeah, I'm not taking the call. And I'm like, okay, thanks. But the reality is, you and I have gifts. And whether we're up here speaking or whether we're in the children's environment loving on the children, each one is to be used and be given out of our gifts. So how has God gifted you, and how are you offering your gifts to the world? I mentioned before, if you've joined us, that every one of us has 168 hours in a week. 168 hours. Now, take sleep off of there. Say 48 hours, we got 120. Nope, don't worry about adding the math. I'll do it for you. I promise it's right. 120. If you had 10 hours you gave into the church, would be service, Bible study, a ministry of some sort, that leaves you 110. What are you doing with your 110? We call this your frontline ministry. This is what God is primarily gifted you to do and be about. You might be in charge of the grandkids. You might be right now working through what it means to be healthy and whole again. Wherever you find yourself, God has placed you there for a reason. 110 hours, what are you using it for? And it's not about you trying harder, it's about you trusting more. So where has God put you? And how can we see that it's not about us and what we are doing, but about how God is working and how we can be partnering with him? God has gifted us to be stewards of his gifts. Stewards. That it's not about, again, having all together, but about us taking what we have and using it for his glory. Remember asking a question to myself several years ago. I asked myself questions. I don't know if you ask yourself questions. I even talked to myself, and some people were like, well, I don't know if that's okay. I said, I even talked to a counselor about this one time. I said, it's okay if you talk to yourself. And they said, it's okay if you talk to yourself. It's okay if you talk to yourself and even answer yourself. And I said, man, I feel good. And he says, you can talk to yourself and answer yourself, but when you start asking yourself, huh, that's when you have a problem. So I then started paying a little bit closer attention. But we are stewards, not owners. God has given us a life. And he's going to ask us at one day, this one point in history, he's going to say, what'd you do with what I gave you? How'd you love? Who'd you love? I see these glimpses of new creation. I see these glimpses that just catch my breath. And I just, man, I could stay here forever. My feet were in the creek, leaning back in the chair, talking with my oldest, asking her about what she's thankful for in life. Started asking her, so what else? Oh, that's great. What else? Well, that's great. What else? She's like, how many things should I be thankful for? And I just said, there's so many. So many times we're so busy. So many times we just look at all the bad. We look at all the junk. We look at all our disappointments. Why not? What if? Why didn't they? When we focus on ourselves and then start blaming others, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we miss these glimpses of new creation. These glimpses are all around, whether it be in a family, seeing friends, wherever it may be. But why does he give us these glimpses? Is it just for those moments? I think in some way, yes. But I think in some way, so much more, so much deeper. I'm going to put something up here on the screen. I hope it's like a tattoo for you, that it never leaves you. that he puts these glimpses of new creation, and he uses you in these glimpses of new creation to demonstrate to a broken world what life could be in him. How many people are walking around with no hope? How many people do not know that there is a God who loves them, who made them, who's got a plan for them, and who's doing amazing things in this world? Where have you seen a glimpse this last week, this last month, maybe this past year? Sometimes, though, we can get so stuck with where we're at. I don't know where you're at with this. I hope you're not stuck. But if you are stuck, let me give you some encouragement. If you're stuck, you're in the best place for God to help you have a breakthrough. You can't have a breakthrough unless you're stuck, actually. Think about it. If you've hit the lid, you can't have a breakthrough unless you've hit the lid. And so maybe it's not a bad thing being stuck where you're at. Sometimes, though, we really lack this thing called, ready, perspective. We can't see everything as clearly as we think we can see him. If I was to ask you to look out that window, you'd see maybe the car driving by or the tree or different things going out there. You might see the water on the glass and the condensation and stuff. And I'm sure that our AC people, like Keith, is going, why is it doing it? And he's like, man, our AC, anyway, and stuff. We're going to see different things. But if I was right up to it, I would miss so much. I wouldn't have perspective. It would be just too close. Sometimes when you're inside the picture, you can't see the frame. And so we need to take that step back. And maybe we haven't seen these glimpses because we haven't really been looking for them. Maybe we've just been looking at all the junk and all the hurt and the struggle. Remember reading a book about Navy SEAL training, and they were saying how the people they know, or the trainers, they say, we know who's going to quit. The ones who are looking at themselves and the ones who forgot the mission. The ones who, in other words, are not looking to their team and focused on the mission. And it's so easy in the Christian walk to forget that we're in this together. That we don't have to be super Christian, super mom, super dad, super husband, super wife. No, it's about us taking our everyday, ordinary life, laying it before the Lord, saying, Lord, what do you want? How are you going to use today? What are you going to do with my 110 this week? What's your next step? It's not hard. I try to keep it cookies on the bottom shelf here, and that's more for me than for you. To be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for what God's doing so that when you see it, you may learn to love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Not that it covers us so we can know God better, that it helps us be the people God always intended for us to become. Haven't the most amazing people in your life been the people that loved you the most deeply? That loved you through the junk, through the mess, that loved you through all that you were going through? And after you were reminded, I need to love deeper, I need to be more focused on others, then you offer that hospitality. You show others the love that others have shown you. You start to, again, understand that you are not the owner of your gift, that you are the steward of your gift. And to be a faithful steward nonetheless. And so as we prepare to move forward where God has called us, may we never forget where God has brought us from. In 1999, there was a gentleman and his wife who said, I believe God wants to do something through us. We're not sure why he's chosen us, but we trust that he's good and he's faithful. And so they prayed, and they felt God was leading them to St. Lucie West. And so they started meeting in their home, and they started gathering a group together. And then they started meeting over at Manatee Academy. And as they met at Manatee Academy, and as they worked through next steps, they decided, okay, where are we putting the building? How are we going to put it here? And how do we design it? How does the community know God loves them the other 6 days of the week? Throughout those days that are not Sunday. And so he says, let's build a school. Let's let the school be an extension of God's love, of God's light. And so they did it. And for over 10 years now, we've had God working. God working and making a mess, because that's what he does. And you know, if you know me long enough, if you've been around me, you know that I believe glitter is from the devil. Okay, I promise you relates. Glitter's from the devil, because it never leaves. It's just awful. I don't even have to touch it, and it's on me when I leave here, and I'm like, what the heck? But it's a reminder to me that when you give a kid glitter, they love it. It amped up fun. Like, oh, that was fun. No, glitter, okay. Glitter glue, what? Okay, so there, but it reminds us that God's at work. And so Tuesday morning when those doors open and the parents and the teachers come and the children are walking through and checking things out, and some are going to be really nervous and even almost like crying, no, Mom, no, no. And you're like, it's okay. The teacher's like, Johnny will be fine. And Johnny's fine. As soon as they leave, he's, what's up? What's going on? No problem. It'll be the beginning of the messiness. Yes, we have nicely, beautifully redone floors. Our church has been repainted. It looks gorgeous, and it's going to get messy, praise the Lord. Because we don't exist for ourselves. We exist to glorify God. He says, I want others to know of his love. And so, as a way of closing, I'm going to invite the teachers to come forward. I was going to pray for them after the passing of the peace, but I just felt, no, we want to bring them up now. So ladies, would you please come forward? They're like, wait, what? Like, stand up. No, stand up. Stand up, stand up. Is this okay if I put this? You're like, I'll move it later. Okay, sorry. Please come up. Again, find yours that's from your bulletin. Check them out. Should be helpful that they're in the same shirts, right? You're like, wait a minute. We will have little pictures and throughout the announcements and stuff throughout the year of our teachers asking you to pray for them, sharing their favorite verse with you. We will have little posters and little flyers and stuff every now and again we'll send home, and just kind of a reminder, keep lifting them up, because we're not a church that has a school. We're a church that has a mission. Or should I say the mission has the church? God is going to be working through these ladies. God is going to be working through them in a way to help these children know three things. Ready? God made them, God loves them, and Jesus wants to be their best friend forever. Before they leave, June 6th, 5th? 5th. 5th, June 5th. She's on. She's already counting. Yeah. Miss Aggie, our director, is already counting. But June 5th, they'll know the three things. They'll know their alphabet. They'll know their colors. There'll be glitter everywhere. We'll have to redo the floors. We'll have to repaint. But it'll be good. It'll be good. I ask that everyone, if you wouldn't mind, we pray for our teachers. We lift them up. And that today that they would be reminded of God's love for you. That you are an extension of our ministry. You're an extension of what God wants to do in and through this world. That it's not about all our joy and happiness all the time. There's going to be those days when the kids are going to drive you crazy, and you're going to say what? Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We worked on this. I don't think they got that part. I was serious. That's your caw-caw. That's your call out. I need help to Jesus and to the other teachers. Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much. Thank you that you've called us to be light in the darkness. Thank you. You've called us to be an extension of your light and your love in this world through all villages and through all villages school. We pray that you would bless and anoint these teachers with health. Please, Lord, help them have the strength to love deeply. Help them depend on you, to trust in you and one another, to serve one another, to use their gifts because you have asked them to be faithful stewards. Thank you for assembling the team you have. Thank you for Miss Aggie's leadership and her direction. What she is seeking to serve your son in these teachers and in these families. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us together so that you may be glorified. This was your idea, Lord, so it's on you. We put it all back on you. I don't stand up here by my own strength. I stand up here because of what you have done in me and through me, and I praise you for it. I pray that these teachers all stand in that as well. Help them, Lord, to trust. Help them to trust with everything they have, to commit their way to you, and to watch you act. We give you praise, we give you thanks, and may you be most glorified through these teachers and through the school. Thank you for this next year coming up. We give you all the praise. Amen.